Take your Bibles. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The next 2 weeks, we're in a section of Scripture in Ephesians that deals with the Spirit-filled life. Today, we're going to talk about what is the Spirit-filled life. And next week, next Sunday morning, we're going to look at the rest of the text on what it looks like. What are the evidences of being filled with the Spirit? And they're going to challenge you in your thinking next week. And then after that, we're going to get into a few lessons on, in the context of the Spirit-filled life, the Spirit-filled marriage, the Spirit-filled family. And then next Sunday night, tonight I'm going to finish, I get a break in Christ in the Old Testament. We'll finish all the Psalms tonight and get into the prophets after Christmas. But for the next three Sundays, mornings and then on Christmas morning, I want to bring some Christmas messages on people who met Christmas. They met the real Christmas, and Jesus changed their lives. So we're going to be looking at that. And then Christmas morning, we're going to be looking at what child is this that the choir just got through singing. What child is this out of Isaiah? And so that's those upcoming attractions, and just wanted to share that with you. But Ephesians 5:18, are you there? Say praise the Lord. We're going to read two or three verses, and then I'm going to speak on verse 18 this morning and verses 19 and 21 next week. So let's stand in honor of God's word for one verse. It won't be long. We just finished a section in Ephesians about imitating our Heavenly Father, and now he's going to be talking about Spirit-filled. Beginning in verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Father, I pray this morning as we examine what the Scripture says about the Spirit-filled life, that you teach us from your word. May we be open to the word of God, open to truth about this relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit of God. So teach us this morning, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Spirit-filled. Now, in verse 18, Paul gives us two commands. Two commands to the Ephesian church. He says, first of all, do not be drunk with wine. And the second command is be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, next week, we're going to look in verses 19 to 21, and we're going to see five participles. That's a big word. You've got one. Don't worry about it. We're going to see five participles that let us know the evidence of the Spirit-filled life. I'll go ahead and show them to you, if you will, for next week. Verse 19, speaking, what? Singing, making. Verse 20, giving and submitting. That shows us what the Spirit-filled life is. These five verbs who are participles who amplify the main point of being filled with the Spirit. Now, it's this second command we're going to look at tonight, and that's being filled with the Spirit. This is a second one we're going to look at, and it's the whole context of Ephesians 5 here, from here on out, is the Spirit-filled life, Spirit-filled relationships. If you're filled with the Spirit, it's going to affect every aspect of your life, okay? And that's what he's talking about here. So we asked the question this morning, what does it mean to be Spirit-filled, and how do we get it? How do we get it? Well, first thing you see on the screen, I want to give you a brief or a presser, you might say, or background of what are some of the Holy Spirit's ministries in our life as a believer. Now, we know he encourages us, and we know he teaches us, we know he comforts us, okay? He's the paraclete. He dwells in us. When you got saved, when you repented of your sin and placed your faith in Jesus, God, through the Holy Spirit, came to live in your heart, in your life. You have a new nature, all right? Now, sometimes the old man pops up. We talk about that a lot. He does, right? The old man, he does pop up. But we got to give him one of those emojis, or whatever you call them. When you beat them at the fair and beat the heads down. What do you call those guys? Some of you fair attenders. Whack-a-mole, yeah. Give him some of those if you want to. Beat him down, right? He's already beaten down by position, but he wants to pop his head up. So when the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, he wants control, okay? He wants you to be Spirit-filled. Now, what are some of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life? Well, there's the indwelling of the Spirit. The Spirit comes to take up residence in your life, right? He abides with you forever. He'll never leave you, right? Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter who will come. He'll abide with you forever. So everybody here this morning that is saved has the indwelling of the Spirit, right? If you're a believer, Christ's Spirit lives within you, right? If any man, Romans says he calls Jesus a curse, the Spirit of God cannot live in him. Any man that says, he dwells every believer, okay? You cannot say I'm saved and not have the Holy Spirit, in other words, okay? Secondly, there's the baptism of the Spirit. That word immersion or baptism happens when you get saved, when you repent and you believe. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, immerses you into the body of Christ, into union with Jesus Christ himself, okay? That is the baptism of the Spirit that 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 speaks of, okay? Now we have a group of people that call the baptism of the Spirit something wrong. What we call the filling of the Holy Spirit, they call the baptism of the Spirit, okay? But when you got saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God. God immerses you, baptizes you into the body of Christ. Look it up, 1 Corinthians 12 through 13, 14. And then you have the Spirit living in you who wants control. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit, okay? Doesn't mean you don't have him already, okay? But he wants you to the Spirit to have control in your life. Then there's the sealing of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes in our life, this is a doctrinal message today. You can't live this Christian life without knowing doctrine, okay? When the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, he seals us until the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. That speaks of our security in Christ. And then there are the gifts of the Spirit, some 17 gifts that he's given to his body, to the believers, who are to understand these gifts, live them, use them under the power of the Spirit so that the whole body can be edified. Our spiritual gifts that we have are for the benefit of the body, okay? Not for us. They're for the benefit of the body. These are supernatural enablements for service and for edification of the body of Christ. And then the Bible also speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. This is, according to Galatians, none other than the nature of Christ living in and through us. Christ living his life through us. The seven characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Always remember, it's singular, it's not plural. You exhibit all these when you're living under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And then that's the character of Jesus living in and through us. And then there's what the Bible calls the anointing of the Spirit. That's for empowerment and service, for discernment. If you read 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you see that the anointed one is Jesus Christ, and he lives in us to equip us to live the Christian life and to teach us the truth that when we hear false teaching or false teachers, the anointed one in us, according to 1 John chapter 2, tells us that this is false teaching and this is wrong. Always remember that. The anointing of the Spirit is for enabling us to live the Christian life, and it's also for teaching us what's true, okay? So many people have gotten, ran off the wagon thinking about the anointing of the Spirit is something else, like Benny Hinn, who raises his hand and says, I got the anointing, I'm going to heal you. No, everywhere you see the anointing in the New Testament, it deals with a believer being equipped to live the Christian life and knowing truth from error, okay? And we're not going to argue with God's word, right? All right? What about the rest of you? Marcus says he's not, right? Okay, we're not. Well, Brother Ray said he's not, right? So we got Brother Rex not in his head. That's a half yes. And so that's the anointing of the Spirit, okay? Now, the one we're going to look at today is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Listen, when you got saved, you got all of Christ you're going to get. You got all the Holy Spirit. He didn't give out to Ken increments. All right, here, Ken, you got 5%. Be a little good boy, I'll throw you another 5%. You know, you got all the Spirit you're going to get when you get saved. Someone said that the filling of the Holy Spirit is a continuous experience whereby we have part and the Spirit has a part. It is a command to live moment by moment under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be Spirit-filled, living under the command of the Holy Spirit. Second thing we're going to look at on our board is, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Now, and again, this work is often misunderstood and often misapplied, but I want to share with you what it does not mean, and then I'm going to share with you what it does mean, okay? First, incorrect meaning. First, it does not command believers to get something they don't already have. Are y'all with me? When you got saved, you got the Spirit. Be filled. He's not telling these people here they already had the Spirit. He's not telling them to get the Spirit. He's telling them to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And you need to follow me all through this sermon if it's going to make any sense to you. So it does not command believers to get something they don't already have. We got the Spirit at salvation. Secondly, the filling of the Spirit is not the baptism of the Spirit. We've already talked about that. Baptism of the Spirit, Jesus through the Holy Spirit immerses us. That's what the word baptized means. He immerses us into union with Christ and union with the body in 1 Corinthians. So the filling of the Spirit is not the baptism of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an extra experience you need to seek. It is something you have at the moment of salvation. I remember I went to a church revival at a local church in Colquitt County one time, and this was a Baptist church, and the preacher was telling the people to come down to the front and pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. That is doctrinally an error. I'll tell you at the end of the sermon how you get it, okay? How you live under the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, the baptism of the Spirit is an act of God by which Christ, through the Holy Spirit, places you in the body of Christ. I tell you, this is important. I know we may go over a little bit here, but don't worry. I know how much I got to go. Go with me to John chapter 7, if you will. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 37. Now, we're talking about the Holy Spirit as being filled with the Spirit is not the baptism of the Spirit, see? Look in verse 37, okay? 37. Everybody there? In the last day, that great day of feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Okay, he's talking about the living waters, right? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, what is the requirement here for this? What? Believing in Jesus, right? "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So, and I could take you to 1 John chapter 12, verse 13. You have the indwelling, and the Holy Spirit places you in the body of Christ, and union with, that's not something you do, that's something God does, and you have an inseparable union. Third, go back to Ephesians. The being filled with the Spirit is not something that makes you super spiritual, right? Say, well, he's Spirit-filled, you know? And they describe how a Spirit-filled Christian looks like, and it's nothing like Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. Can I say this? I don't want to shock you, but it doesn't make you super spiritual. What it does is make you what God expects for a normal Christian to live his life, okay? It's not something you seek, but something you receive. Let me throw a little deeper stuff on you. Be filled there in Ephesians 5, 18 in the Greek is passive voice, which indicates that we have nothing to do with it. It indicates you receive it by an action of someone else, and that's God, okay? And we're going to look at that in just a moment. Now, let me share with you what the correct meaning of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. First, it is literal translation, means being kept filled. The idea is living moment by moment under the control and the influence of the Spirit. It is walking in the Spirit. Secondly, the Greek word here, I'm going to throw a little bit of Greek on you, P-L-E-R-O-O, for filled here. He said, be ye filled, right? That Greek word filled there is used three ways in the New Testament. It's used to speak of pressure. It's used to speak of a wind blowing the ship by the sails. They open up the sails, and the wind hits the ship, and the wind takes the ship wherever the wind is going, right? The Holy Spirit provides the thrust for our obedience, and takes us in the proper direction. Okay? Also, it's used in the New Testament to speak of permeation. In other words, the Holy Spirit permeates every aspect of our life. Just like on that cell, it tightens that cell out and permeates every square inch of that cell so it can control that boat, right? And the same way with our life, the Holy Spirit comes into our life, he wants control, and he adds flavor to our life and gives evidence that we're walking in the Spirit. And then the third way it's used in the New Testament is domination. And this is the primary use of what it means to be filled with the Spirit, to be in control of the Holy Spirit, okay? By the Holy Spirit. We are commanded to yield to the total control of the Holy Spirit. Every emotion, every thought, every act will be under his direction. Because when we're not, we're trying to live in the flesh, right? And then we're doing what we want to do and not what the Spirit directs us to do, right? Now, it basically means this. So being filled with the Spirit means being pressured, permeated, and dominated by the Holy Spirit. It's not some weird action. It's not some weird manifestation. We'll see next week what it is, verse 19, 20, and 21. Okay? Having an overflow of joy. See, when you're under the control of the Holy Spirit, you can't help it. You got joy, right? So what does that mean? When you see a joyless Christian, doesn't necessarily mean they don't have the Spirit. It means they're not living under the Spirit's control. Because when you got the Spirit's control in your life, you're going to have joy. Rejoice in the Lord always, right? So having an overflow of joy that outworks itself in renewed worship and relationships. Can I say this? When you come here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, if you're worshiping in the flesh, you're not going to get anything out of it. That's probably why you don't like it. But if you come here being filled with the Spirit of God, he's going to control your worship and your service, right? You truly can't worship unless you're under the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? How are we filled with the Spirit? What is our part? It's not like that preacher said at that revival, said, come down here and pray for it. You're not going to see that anywhere. This is a command. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Well, number one, you must confess all your sins. I'm not talking about how you get the initial indwelling of the Spirit. I'm talking about how he could be king in your life, how he can be president of your life, and not just taking up residence, how you can live the Christian life under his control. You must confess all known sin. 1 John 1:9, right? And that preacher said didn't say anything about that. He said, just come down front and ask for it. You think he's going to fill a dirty vessel? Right? We need to confess our sins. Secondly, we need to act according to the will of God through the Holy Spirit and yield to his control. We need to act. It's an act of our will to begin to surrender to him, to be Lord of our life, and to obey the commands of Scripture. You can pray all you want to live under the control of the Holy Spirit, and it's never going to happen if you don't obey the Word of God, right? This is so simple today, right, church? All right, listen, y'all hold me out here. I might hold you to about 12:02. All right? Y'all listen to me. It is not a matter of praying for it. It's a matter of confessing sin and responding to what the Word of God says, right? Number three, we can't be controlled by the Spirit. Now, this is important. We can't be controlled by the Spirit unless we are controlled by the Scriptures. Colossians 3:16, be ye filled, not only with the Spirit, but with the Word of God. Let the Word of God be at home in your heart and life. Scripture should permeate and dominate our every thought and word and deed. And when it's not, we're not living under the Holy Spirit's control, right? I don't know about y'all, but I get into flesh quite often. I know that's a shocker to you. It don't happen at Whataburger as much as it used to. But I was at Whataburger getting breakfast this morning, and this tow truck pulls up, and he pulls off with a car that looked just like my little Focus. I said, oh, no, I hope they come and got it, you know. But I went out there and joking with him, talking to him. I thought you'd come to get my Focus, and I've had three recalls and some of them twice. He said, no, I got another one. But it looked just like my little gray Focus. Now, I don't know where I was headed with that, but I would have been filled with the Spirit if they had picked it up. you know, and taking it with them. So you see this, listen to me, church. You are not going to live under the spirit. I already explained to you what it means to be spirit-filled, what that word filled means, right? Having the Holy Spirit control your life, okay? And next week we're going to tell you how that looks like. How do you know that you're living under the control of the Holy Spirit? It's not because you jump over the church. It's not because you run around the church. It's not because you claim to do this and claim to do that. He already lives in you, folks. You just need to let him out, right? And that's what we're talking about. So the spirit-filled life is one of joy and controlling of the life by obedience to the Word of God. Okay? You're whistling Dixie, and I'm not demeaning Dixie, but I'm telling you, you're whistling Dixie if you don't study your Bible and you don't obey the commands of Scripture. Right? A lot of people say, well, I won't get into that. I'll get into that next week. That's what it means, folks. And how you do it? You don't come pray for it. You're not going to find that in the Bible. The Bible is what we go by, right, church? But what you go by is confessing your sins and yielding your life and all your instruments to Jesus. Mortify the flesh so that he can live his life in and through you and obey the Spirit and obey the Word of God. And the Spirit will never contradict the Word of God, right? So quit looking for something that you already have. Just live and surrender to him so he might get it out, right, through your lives. Father, thank you for your word today. If there's one here, Lord, that's never confessed Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that today will be the day. Draw them to you, Father, that they may confess their sin of unbelief, that may believe in Jesus as the eternal Son of God who came and died in their place. They believe in his body, the resurrection, and they ask him to come into their heart and life for salvation. Lord, many others here today, we don't always walk in the Spirit. Sometimes we walk in the flesh. But Lord, we need to confess whatever it is. We need to surrender and say, Lord, I'm yours. I want to make you president of my life. All the little rooms in my heart are filled with the things that I want. I now want to give you free reign in my heart to control my every thought, my every action. So whatever it is you need to do, we give you an opportunity to respond this morning. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, if you would.